Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It is now 40 days since Mary enjoys motherhood, and now she's bringing her son, to the temple for her to be purified and for him to be dedicated to God. She's bringing him to the temple to be presented to God the Father, where he promised to be present. We hear these particular words again from the text. The evangelist writes us, "And Simon and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' In the name of Jesus, amen." Brothers and sisters in Christ, the words spoken by Simeon to Mary are a prophecy that it extends far beyond the walls of the temple and into our lives. When Simeon spoke of a sword piercing of Mary's soul, he was foretelling the sorrow and the heartache she would endure witnessing her son's, our Savior's, journey to the cross. And this wasn't just the mother's pain. It was a prophetic glimpse into the depth of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sacrifice and purification he embodies. The sword that Simeon speaks of, it's not a metaphor for Mary, but a reality for each of us also. The law of God in its divine wisdom and purity acts like a sword in our lives. It cuts through the facades of we build, the illusions we cling to, and it pierces our hearts, revealing the hidden doubts and the unspoken fears and the sins we try to hide. Just as a surgeon uses a scalpel to heal, the Lord our God uses his word in our hearts to open the truth to us, to show that we need him. And we need his grace and we need forgiveness. And in those moments of piercing, when we feel exposed and vulnerable, remember that is also the moment that God uses for a great revelation, a divine revelation. In these moments of trials and tests in our faith, we are strengthened. And when doubts and fear are laid before us, it is not to break us, but to build us and to bring us closer to the truth, and bring us closer to the light, bring us closer to God's love. So, beloved in Christ, this passage is comforting to us when we hear it. The patience of Simeon is a patience that is not of his own making, but it is a divinely inspired patience by the Holy Spirit that this righteous and devout man waited for months, not days, but years, with a promise in his heart, a promise that he would not see death before he laid his eyes on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the patience of Simeon is not his willpower. It is not because he's a good believer. It is because it is a gift bestowed upon him by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit placed on you when you were baptized, the waters of creation. That Spirit moved Simeon's heart, sustaining him and guiding him, keeping him his faith alive in the face of doubt and uncertainties. That Spirit you received in baptism. That Spirit through the Word, that Spirit through the body and blood, bread and wine you drink, is guiding you, is sustaining you, and is strengthening you in doubts in your hearts and your uncertainties. When that moment arrives for Mary 40 days later, when the moment for her to be purified, for it is unclean for her to give birth according to the Jewish law, when the infant Jesus was brought into the temple, it wasn't just the fulfillment of a personal promise to Simeon. It was a fulfillment for God's people and all nations, longing for a Savior, longing for the Messiah For Jesus Christ is a consolation for Israel. And Jesus Christ, that baby, is a consolation for you. So imagine the overwhelming joy that the peace which flooded Simeon's soul and heart. All the years of waiting and all the moment of doubting and questioning, they melted away in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that is a reminder to us that our patience and endurance are not our own doing. It is the gifts from God, from the Holy Spirit. It is the fruition of the work of sanctification that the Lord has upon you. It is God present in your life, sustaining you day after day. Now we have to consider Anna, the prophetess, who has been at the temple for years after being married for 7 years. 48 years, day after day, she's at the temple. Decades, worshiping and fasting and praying night and day because she is sustained. And her wait was long, her devotion unwavering, and then a moment that Jesus Christ orchestrated so that we hear about her, that the Lord came to her, that now it is not about the temple anymore. The new temple has arrived, and everything is through the new temple, Jesus Christ. When the Messiah is there, the one she waited for years, she knows salvation is here, that the new era of salvation has come, that Israel will not have to wait anymore. The world will not have to wait anymore. For Mary and Joseph brought the Lamb of God. This story reminds us that our doubts now, as we said, are not dispelled by our own work, but is carried and calmed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reassures us our waiting and our longing, which is not left unnoticed by our God, for the Lord meets us in our waiting. The Lord meets us and brings us peace, and the Lord provides us comfort in His word and in His promises. In God's perfect timing, we too shall receive the consolation of Israel and the peace and joy that Simeon and Anna experienced. So Christian friends, what a joy to hear about Mary and Joseph bringing their child to be dedicated to the Lord, bringing Jesus Christ to the temple. For they came to the temple not bearing just a child, but the Messiah, the anointed one of God, in obedience of the law, as decreed by scriptures. Leviticus says, every firstborn is to be dedicated to the Lord our God, and He calls them holy. So Mary has to bring two pigeons and a pair of turtle doves. Normally, she would bring a lamb, but the law allows for people to bring two pigeons and turtle doves if they cannot afford the lamb. Unbeknownst to them, though, or anyone around them, they bring the very true Lamb of God to be the propitiation for their sins, to purify them and dedicate His life for us, so that He goes to the cross to save all of us, to save all nations, to save God's people Israel, and to save Gentiles, to save you. So this holy child consecrated to God, made flesh, the incarnation, a moment where the presence of God enters the presence of God, where the flesh, the Son, is in the holies of holies. And now, the temporal brushed against the eternal, and the moment of salvation, the new era for all of us, to bring comfort. So this act of presenting Jesus Christ in the temple was not just a fulfillment of the law, but the perfect divine plan for your salvation, that in Jesus, the holy and divine intersected with humanity, and he became one of us. And he was the bridge to God-man, and he will mediate for you to reconcile you with the Father, to bring you peace. And in this act of dedication, we see the perfect will and sovereignty and faithfulness of our God, that Jesus humbled himself to fulfill the requirements of the law, demonstrating his submission to the Father's will, identifying himself with you, a sinner. So let us marvel at this divine mystery, for the Word of God, as Luke says, is to be marveled at. The Word in Jesus' humility is wonderful. So, dear congregation, the humble offering of Mary and Joseph in the temple according to the law is our purification, that they didn't bring a one-year-old lamb, but a 40-year-old Jesus Christ for us to sanctify, to purify, and to dedicate the atonement for our sins, the ultimate sacrifice for you, to be in our midst for the forgiveness of sins for all humanity. So when you are baptized, you too are joined in Christ and his death and resurrection, just as he dies for all of us in sins and our sinful self drowned and put to death, just as he was raised from death, we too are raised in a new life with him. That this baptismal grace is nothing less than the work of Christ applied to us on the cross. So today, we bear witness to the beautiful sacrament, the baptism of little Margot in the waters of baptism, that Margot is joined to Christ in a way that is mysterious and wonderful, that the power of God's grace working his baptism, and it does not depend on her understanding, but in God's promise, that Margot is baptized and clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and it is not a metaphorical robe, but a real divine garment that covers her with purity, holiness, and innocence, the innocence of Jesus Christ himself, that 40-year-old baby. That the water washed her, cleansed her physical self, and her sins washed away, the original sin that we all inherited, the sin that separated us from God, is removed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this holy sacrament, which we all witnessed this morning, Margot is marked by the redeemed one, the crucified one, and she is now part of God's family, an heir to eternal life, and a recipient to God's unending grace. So as Margot grows strong in faith, in this baptismal grace, and comforted all her life, we receive her as our sisters, sealed with the same Spirit, so that we all may be accompanied by the Holy Spirit with her, with her church family, with the promise and the support to teach her and to grow with her until the Lord's return. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the Nicene Creed.